The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, and because it's hour number two on Thursday, that means it's unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. Billy,
well, I just come in here and I realize that you guys are under a heat alert inside. Yes,
we are playing.
I feel like the movie JFK when John Candy's on the stand sweating, telling them that the one way bullet. I mean, yeah, it's definitely hot.
It was an interesting casting of John Candy in that movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, the great John Candy. I'm not really a comedy guy, but I love John Candy though.
Oh, he's phenomenal.
But I'm not like I love Rodney Dangerfield, John. I can't. Why is it we can't change what we like? I can't get into the new comedy stuff. I have no interest in going to any comedy thing.
Really?
None. I like maybe like Sebastian, the stand-up comedian. I'll watch some of his stuff. But
Maniscalco,
yeah.
I believe his name is.
Yeah.
You don't like Bill Burr? You seem that you'd be a good.
I haven't seen him. I know who he is. I never seen anything on him. And the movies, like who's the guy with the curly hair? Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
I have no interest. Zero.
No interest.
Oh, I know who he is, but it's hard for me. I'm as I got older, I like things that are nonfiction. I like to watch like documentaries.
Me too.
Love that kind
of
stuff.
Me too. It is the flaw of my brain that the older I have gotten, the less tolerance I have for fiction. It's really true.
But yet it's funny. When we were 20 and even in our teens.
Totally.
You know, we liked that kind of stuff and you know, I did, and you know, I noticed the teens of today, like my friends' kids, they're in trouble.
Oh no,
they're in trouble. I mean, even my friend has said, you know, like, oh my God, my son, he just watches these YouTube videos, and you know, he's 24 now. It's not like he's a 15.
Yeah.
And then they're raised on that. Brings up a subject. See, this unscripted subject. Just thought about it. It's so unbelievable when you. The kids can't make basic change. If they can't Google search it, they can't do it.
What do you mean basic change?
I went into a store back east, and I was back east recently.
Oh, like actual change.
I give the guy, my bill was $8.11. I give the guy a $10 bill and a quarter, a little silver quarter, you know, a little quarter. The guy was freaked out. He's like, yeah, 10's enough. I said, I know, but I want $2. I don't want the change.
Right.
He huffed and puffed and had to figure out that he had to give me $2.14. Now, this crosses over to the sportsbook side.
Yes, it did.
I made a bet that was minus $1.11.
Oh, don't do that.
And I bet $22.20 to win $2,000. And I totally freaked out the guy behind the counter. I gave him $2,300, but that surely shouldn't really freak him out. The bill's $22.20, $2,300, $80 is my change. He couldn't figure it out. I wasn't going to help him either. He goes to the watch. I guess he had maybe an iPhone watch or something. Ooh. Figures it out. Look, $2,300 minus $2,220, and still hands me $20 back instead of $80. I was like, wow. I was like, buddy, no. No. I said, you know, do it over. I wasn't even going to tell him. Do it over. I mean,
at the risk of sounding like I'm 1,000 years old.
But why wouldn't the sportsbook just have the thing on? By the way, they could settle this. Hire someone with intelligence, or you could just put it on the register, like put the dollar amount in, and it'll show you the change. Now, I don't know if do we have to go there, right? Really? I mean, but they couldn't figure it out. I mean,
I have a theory.
Yeah.
I have a theory. When I went back, I remember visiting I guess I was in my 30s at this point, and my favorite teacher in high school was still there. And I rolled back in there one time, and he saw me, and he grabbed me. He was from North Carolina. I was like, Gil. And he says to me, he goes, see all these kids in here? I can only do it as accent, Mr. Sorkin. He goes, see all these kids in here? They're all using their calculators. They're all eager to put their hand up to tell me the right answer without having any knowledge of the process that it takes to get that answer.
100%.
And we didn't have that, right?
Right.
We didn't, and he basically distilled it to that thing. He believes that's at the origin of it.
Wow. It's amazing. Everything these kids do, they look up Google. They watch on YouTube. They think about society. These kids, they grow up on these podcasts of these funny kids of the Milk Brothers, whatever they are, and you know, my friend's son shows his dad these videos and watches them with him, and like it's they're goofy. You're 25. We were out of the house by that age, having jobs and kids. I mean, a lot of people by that age. Anyway, just something that you said the word that made me think of that.
What is your? I'm trying to think of like the sports book you mentioned. One. Oh, here we go. Here comes the South Point Construction. I don't know if he goes off on air.
A lot of things happen when I come on this show.
Oh, yeah, a little humidity.
There's been, like, blackouts, alarms.
Yeah, it's all we're missing now is the fire alarm.
That's right. It's coming.
Let's come on.
By the way, what is that noise? Can I ask on air?
There's some kind of construction either above us or below us.
Hopefully they're cutting air holes to get air in here. Just to get, like, a little mouse or something.
A vent. Yeah, I hope so. Where have you been, by the way? I know where I've been.
No, you were away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was back on the East Coast. All up and down through Maryland, New Jersey.
What's your favorite spot, all those, when you go from sportsbook to sportsbook?
Favorite spot?
Not D.C.
I got to tell you, it used to be Atlantic City, but Atlantic City has absolutely changed. And by the way, before I forget, I really have a new appreciation a lot of times when I come back here. The staffs at the casinos, the staffs that work behind the desk of the sports books here are so much better than the ones on the East Coast and even throughout the South. I just, day and night, they're so much more schooled here, and I got to give them credit. It's hard to deal with these people and stuff. And they're just, like, they're not counting on their, you know, little Lego watch. They're not counting, with the change on their watch here. They're just very good, the staffs here. Now, I don't know if anyone's told you, the face of sports betting is—it's just the landscape has changed so much in New Jersey. It was the best spot, the best to play sports. I probably won't be going back too much.
Really?
Yeah, like I was in the past. It's listen. First of all, Bally's in Atlantic City, the center of the boardwalk. Bally's has a walk-up FanDuel location. It was great to me. They were taking bets at the counter, good size bets. I don't understand it. They're closing in 2 weeks. They're closing, like just closing the book. They're giving up retail in South Jersey and just going to be at the Meadowlands, which is 2 hours north. So I don't know how you close now. Close after football season.
Right.
They're closing. The DK spot there obviously got hit by a lot of crews. And I was talking to some people there. They got hit by some really sharp crews.
Kiosks there.
Backpack crews. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And but they had like 18 kiosks. Now they're down to 4 that they can monitor looking out the windows and looking over the desk. And they're down to a nickel maximum for anybody. And you can't bet it again unless you – when I went to the counter, the guy's like, Bill, I'm so sorry. I said, well, okay, can I bet it again though after? Can I give you 5 minutes and see if the line changes? He goes, no, it's $500 per customer. The landscape is this is not only this. I'm going to keep on going. The William Hill location's there. It's much more difficult now than it was even last summer, 2 years ago. It's real simple. Let's face facts. Let's get down to the bottom point here. 85% of the betting is done over the mobile apps on your phone. That's what they want to keep it to. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they'll have the locations up North Jersey and stuff, but they want to know who's betting, when, where, when. They just want to know. That no one is circumventing. And I'm going to say, I shouldn't even say circumventing limits, because what are the limits? There is no limits. Like, no one knows the limits in any sports book. The only sports book I can name that I know what the given limits is, believe it or not, is one of the ones that I'm not allowed to bet on in the app here, and probably the counter, stations. You go into stations, you get the printout for the day. It says on the bottom, limit 2,000 per game, limit 1,000 per game, limit 500 per prop.
That
they show you.
That is one of the underrated things that gets left out. Oh, we don't talk about that.
Just tell us the limits. Yeah. That's all I want to know.
Yeah.
You know, I know for most people they don't need that, but I'd like to know what the limits are. I was surprised. I came over here last night, South Point. I went to dinner at the sushi place, and I went to the sports book here. I could bet something on the app for, $500. I said, let me go to the counter and see if I can bet more. I asked for a good amount. They gave me much more. I asked for much more than I actually thought I was going to get. They gave it to me. So counter limits, I understand, are more than the app on certain situations. But I just like to know what the limits are. By the way, this is anywhere in town. I like to know what the actual limit is. Mm-hmm. So stations is the only one. So back east, too, you don't know. You don't know what your limits are back east. Nowhere.
So this is it begs the question, Is this only, in your opinion, this is only going to go in this direction?
Yes.
As time goes on?
It's going to get much worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. To further expound on your answer, I'm going to just tell you, I wouldn't even recommend anyone to try to take up sports betting now, to try to bet full-time.
Well, you and I have talked about this before.
I really wouldn't, though. Yeah. It's I didn't expect this to happen in Atlantic City.
But that
this is bad.
But you and I have said that even when things were different years and years ago. Like, you have to be a certain type of person, period, to do this.
You do.
But now, you're just talking about from a mechanical, from a mathematical standpoint, what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do.
Right.
Is no state better than another? Like,
no, the states are better.
Is Colorado the best state right now?
Used to be very good. States there's other states though with walk up books that are taking five times the amount than they are at the Atlantic City DraftKings,
like,
for example.
Like,
Illinois, Indiana. Let me see where the kids went. Connecticut. These places are. I personally have experience going to these places. They're taking, like, I'll walk into a location, a different location. They'll take a couple thousand at the counter, and I'll walk into Atlantic City. I told you it's $500 max. Mm-hmm. Listen, I know it's in the whole scheme of things, the average bet in the country is less than $100. So I'm not. It's good for everyone. It's good for the public. And to be real blunt, I try to put myself in their shoes sometimes. What I would book. It's an interesting thing to think. If I'm in charge of risk, and if my bonus structure is based on risk,
on that,
I may be trying a little defensive mechanism.
You would
myself.
Be an entirely different human being, sir.
I don't know.
I was like, who's that guy? We'll come back more with the Crack Man, including his buddy Teddy Atlas will join us to talk. Errol Spence, Terrence Crawford, Fight of the Year, Unified Welterweight Championship of the World. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. It's the final week to sign up now for only $19. At VSiN.com/subscribe. Bill, by the way, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Bill Krakenberger here. When I was a wee lad, I liked nothing more than the sport of boxing.
Yep.
And Vegas, first of all, the one thing that we, who have not been here forever, miss because we know how great it was great prize fights here. But when I was a kid, I grew up in D.C., so Sugar Ray Leonard was my idol, from Palmer Park, Maryland, Olympic gold medalist, and then became one of the great welterweight, and then later middleweight, light heavyweight, even got to one of the great fighters of all time. But the welterweight division was just spectacular when I was a kid. Not only Sugar Ray Leonard, but also, of course, the hitman, Tommy Hearns, Roberto Duran, Marvin Hagler was a middleweight who Leonard stepped up to fight. But these are rare times when there are unification bouts at the welterweight division. Leonard Hearns won in November of 1981 was the one I remember most vividly. One of the greatest fights of all time. But we've had Trinidad De La Hoya. We've had Pacquiao and Mayweather in this weight class. And now we have Errol Spence Jr. and Terrence Crawford this weekend in Vegas. And Bill, would you like to introduce the man who's going to help us navigate this?
We really appreciate Teddy Atlas coming on. He has an appointment here in about 15 minutes. We appreciate him giving us some time here. Ted, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Bill.
Thanks, Ted.
My pleasure.
Big fight this weekend, and I know you're getting a lot of requests from everyone. We really appreciate you coming on for a couple minutes here. This line opened up around 140. It's now about 150 in town, and really some two-way action. I'm actually surprised. A little bit more on Crawford, I understand, but we wanted to get your take on this, Ted. What do you think? Who do you like odds-wise? And, if you can give us a couple minutes, thanks.
Yeah, no problem. You know, it's always good when you have a fight where you can make an argument on either side, a legitimate argument on either side. You got Spence, the naturally bigger guy, southpaw, that, can be relentless. He's also shown that he's educated in the ring. He's cerebral enough. He's technically sound. He was an Olympian. You have to be, pretty rounded. As a fighter, dimensional as a fighter to be an Olympian. That means that he was fighting the best fighters in the world internationally for years before he ever went pro. He knows how to win. He's a guy that goes to the body really well. Nothing better than going to the body of a smaller man, the naturally smaller man, obviously Crawford. So you can make an argument for Spence, an easy argument, if you like the things I just said. And then you can go on the other side and make an argument for Crawford. Yeah, he's a smaller guy. But for me, punches are born. They're not made. And not always a correlation between size and power. It's you either have it or you don't have it. And if you have it, you carry it like Inoue does, which he was explosive against the bigger Fulton just recently, and he was so impressive. I mean, Crawford moved up 3 weight classes and has carried his power. I think he's the more explosive puncher as far as just pure, you know, molecules to molecules, so to speak. He is the purer puncher. And he's more versatile. He's more dimensional. He might be the greatest switch hitter since Mickey Mantle. I mean, Mickey Mantle, for your sports fans out there, he could go on either side of the plate with power or average. Well, Crawford does that. He could go southpaw or orthodox for power or for average. And I've never seen, I mean, Andre Ward was pretty damn good, but this guy takes it to another dimension. But
oh, nice.
Where he separates himself, for me, Bill, is that Crawford is so instinctual. You know, my mentor, Customato, used to tell me that the great ones, they can kind of make it up as they do it. Kind of like a Louis Armstrong. You got music fans out there?
Sure.
You got them, right?
Of course.
So, hello?
Yep, we're here.
Yeah, some of your guys, I'm out in the middle of Manhattan, so I didn't know if I lost you or what, but standing here trying to get this thing done for you before my doctor's appointment, because you know what, you know, I got to get my nose looked at, because I didn't move my head enough, so I got a deviated septum, which happens in my sports sometimes, so I got to get in there, but in about 10 minutes, my son was good enough to pull me over on the side here. We're sitting in the car. People are looking at me, wondering why we're in a no-parking zone on the phone as though everything's okay. But getting back to the music lovers out there, if you have any, is that guys like Louis Armstrong on the horn, one of the greatest horn players of all time, he could just invent his own notes. Just as he was playing, all of a sudden you say, well, I never heard that note before. Or Jimi Hendrix on a guitar. Just hit a different string. And you say, wow, that's different. That's not usual. Crawford is along those lines. He can just create stuff if the need is there to create it. That's pure instincts. That's subconscious. That is something that can't be taught. That's something that you either have it or you don't have. And very few people have it at the level that I've seen Crawford exhibit it. So because of that, I put him in a little bit of a special class. And obviously, it's pretty clear that I favor him. But it's again, you can make an argument on either side. Physicality, size, fence. And at the same time, not just a bigger guy who don't know what the hell he's doing, but a bigger guy who's got an educated jab. I mean, he beat Mikey Garcia, Spence, because he out-jabbed him. Yeah, Mikey Garcia was the smaller man, but he was supposed to be the better boxer. He was supposed to be the guy that was going to counterpunch all night. Guess what? It's hard to counterpunch on the outside when a guy is controlling you with a jab. And that's exactly what Spence did to shut down Mikey Garcia. So, both sides, good arguments, should be a good fight.
So, Teddy, let me jump in here for a second because I want you to get you to your doctor's appointment. So, Terrence Crawford at minus 150. It sounds like if you had to make a bet, you'll tell me if I'm wrong or not, that you would still lean Crawford. And I want to ask you additionally on that to tell me what your response is to that. But also the total is set at 10.5 rounds with the over heavily juiced. The under is a good bang for your buck at plus 190. Where do you stand on that additionally?
You know, it figures to go rounds, obviously. You got two guys. See, the great thing about this fight is that it's not 5 years too late. When Pacquiao and Mayweather came together, it was 5 years too late for Pacquiao. Mm-hmm. It was. And yeah, Crawford's getting up there a little bit, but you know what? I don't judge fighters' age chronologically. I judge them by the amount of punishment they've taken. And in that way, Crawford is not old. He's not used up. He doesn't have a lot of miles on the odometer. So you should get prime efforts from both guys. And I understand the smart guys out there, the guys that lay the lines, looking at top guys, top skills, both undefeated, both mentally together as well as physically together, that it's going to go rounds. But I'm going to go back to what I started this conversation with, that Crawford carries that power, and he's dimensional, and he's instinctual. And he can sometimes time you with shots you don't see. He's got the option of doing it on the outside where he lays traps. He's got the option of, believe it or not, sitting in the pocket with the bigger guy where he can time you and punch inside a shot where you might never see the shot. And, as I said, he's got the option of going lefty or righty. I think it's feasible that Crawford hurts Spence before the night's over. Now, again, I understand, you know, going with the over for the reasons I just said. Both guys technically sound, both guys undefeated, both guys mentally tough guys. I see wanting to lay your buck down on going rounds. But with that line, I would think that I'm going to take a shot on the under. If I'm right, that Crawford catches him something before the night's over, before that number comes up that you just put out there, and that he can possibly get him out of there. So I think it's worth a shot. I would take Crawford on the side as far as the bet to win, period. And then I would throw a little extra on the, see if I get fortunate and pick up a little extra on the under.
Teddy,
how's that sound to
that
you guys?
Sounds,
you guys
that
are
sounds
beautiful.
We appreciate it, Ted. Thank
Teddy,
you very appreciate much.
Teddy, appreciated.
Hope your doctor's appointment goes well. Congratulations on your fourth grandkid.
We got to run, Teddy. We got to run. The great Teddy Atlas, ESPN's Teddy Atlas, host of the Fight with Teddy Atlas podcast, and the trainer, Bill, to 18 champions. Please tell Teddy we said thank you very much on that. More Unscripted with the Crack Man on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, and the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? Drive too fast and you can hear the sound of your vehicle crashing because one way or another, speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA. It's Gil Alexander, Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted. And Billy, thanks again for arranging for Teddy Atlas to be here.
Yeah, it's actually really nice of him. I knew he was going to a doctor. Yeah. I knew he was going to mention it on air.
Sorry I had to scoot him off.
But it's really nice of him to pull over the car and, you know, give us an interview before he goes in. Yeah, you know, Teddy has had, you know, many champions, like you said, and he was a, you know, amateur fighter himself. Street fighter, street brawler. We all know that, you know, Teddy was on the inside a little bit at Rikers Island. Real tough guy in life, and he's just a great guy for giving us that time. But by having all those different things in life, he said their words. He has a deviated septum. He's going for some shots today to try to avoid surgery, but I think he's going to have surgery. So, you know, he's still the greatest internal human being out there. Raises money for charity. His charity gives away so much money. They raise so much money. Teddy's ESPN, you know, his ESPN job, let's just face it, Bob Arum does not like Teddy Atlas. And maybe the same goes for Bob Arum. Teddy might not like him. So when Bob Arum took over boxing at ESPN, Bob said, "I don't want Teddy doing my fights," because he talks about different things, like, you know, like someone going out, taking out the referees and the judges to dinner the night before. The promoters were caught doing that. Teddy will tell you about that. He goes, "Well, did you ever see Steinbrenner take out the umpires?" Huh? Yeah. No. How can this be allowed in boxing? There's no commission. And Teddy's right.
He's super vocal about bad judging in boxing because yeah. And his point is
he's
and,
right,
and he's right. Well, because he's also because he's Teddy Atlas, right? He knows. He knows what each fighter is trying to do in a way that, you know, someone casually observing does not. So he understands scoring in a way that he believes judges do not. And so when they have just such a horrible, you know, scorecard,
yeah,
he gets really, and justifiably so, get bent out of shape about
it. He has a weekly podcast, by the way.
Yeah, once again.
291,000 subscribers. He gets tons of views. It's free on YouTube. It's fantastic.
It's called
The Fight with Teddy Atlas.
Yeah.
What an unbelievable breakdown, an hour every week of all different things going on in life, not just boxing, but boxing is primarily the focus of it. But anyway,
You can also follow him on Twitter at Teddy Atlas Real. By the way, that is so in the end, you know, just to summarize, he loves Spence Jr. as a fighter. He loves Terrence Crawford, but he sort of referenced Jazz there in the middle, too, where it's Crawford can really adjust on the fly. He can fight both ways. And so he gives Crawford the edge because Crawford can figure out his way into any in and out of any situation in a ring. And as much respect as he has for Errol Spence Jr., he does lean Crawford at the price of -150, but he said he would take a flyer on the under at +190,
Bet, right?
Smaller bet. Yeah. Yeah. Under 10.5 because he thinks Crawford could actually hurt Spence. So, I can't wait for this fight, man. I am very pumped about it.
Where are you watching it?
Great question.
Oh, I just want
great like, question.
I don't
because,
know this. Does the casino show this for free?
Well, so this is always a thing here because we assume that they do.
Yeah,
but they don't.
Oh, they don't. The bars have them. Like I don't.
So
know
you have
which...
to go like the Cosmo has this one little bar that
right,
you can
yeah.
pay and. So I'm actually
or stations maybe
like the Paris Beer Garden one is always a good spot usually where they'll have all the fights going.
You know, I admit it. You know, as much money as we spend in our life, I hate paying $80 to watch the fight.
But I will tell you this: if I were here at home, I would do it. I would pay.
Okay.
I'm just not going to be here, so I got to figure out a bar to go watch it in where I am.
Yeah,
this weekend. Yeah.
So you're going to watch it though. Somewhere.
Oh, 100%.
Nice.
100%. This is the fight of the year right here.
This is definitely the fight of the year, supposedly, you know.
I mean, this has been anticipated for a long time. Errol Spence Jr., you know, his career went on pause after a car wreck. He has come back and won a couple fights since then. But this is the fight that we've always wanted to see. But Teddy's point is a great one. Even though Crawford is 35 and Spence is 33.
Right.
This is still the time to have the fight. This isn't like Pacquiao Mayweather. Remember, Mayweather.
That's
you
what
know,
Teddy said. Five years too late.
For sure, it was 5 years too late. Like, for those of us who lived in the Bay, who wanted that to happen so much earlier, big Pacquiao fans up there, and it just went forever. And by the time they got in the ring, it was just,
here. You have guys that are 28-0, I believe, and 39-0. So think about it. Someone's O must go. They say that, right? Think about what the town would want the best. What would be the best for the boxing business, best for the town?
So Bill, what you're saying
is
what the guys who cut your hair right at the barbershop say all the time, who know boxing. They're like, think about what the business of boxing, if you're a conspiracy theorist like
business.
That, what would the business of boxing like more? And your answer to that would be?
The 20-1 I just seen at Circa on the draw. I just think the draw would be listen, I am probably going to throw a flyer on something like I seen +7.5-1.
We have a split decision.
Yeah, I seen some good odds on by knockout. Like, listen, this is not really a betting fight for me, but if I was to bet something, I'm thinking about throwing a peanut on Spence by knockout and the draw. You know, have a little bit of fun with it.
105-103 Spence.
Yeah.
Judge so and so has it. 105-103 Crawford. And Judge Krakenberger has it.
114-114.
We have a split decision. and everybody loses their minds, except for those who bet the draw.
Yeah.
I'm with Teddy. I think it's Crawford. I may take a flyer on the under as well. First boxing match I've bet in a long time.
Oh, wow.
Because Triple G and Canelo, number two that I went to here?
I went to 1 and 2 also.
I vowed never to bet boxing
again.
You
really don't. I mean,
I'm never doing this.
A lot of people, you probably, you will too by saying this then.
Yeah.
So you're saying what I'm saying, that Triple G won. I mean,
Triple G absolutely won.
And yeah. You'll see people now on Twitter saying, "Are you crazy? Watch the fight.
Oh, yeah.
Watch the fight over with no sound or something. Look, score the
100%.
Fight by the you know Marcus of Queensbury rules. Watch the fight over, and you'll see that. And I did watch it over, and I still had Triple G winning.
But you know what? I mean, and I'll bring Teddy into this. I'm not trying to disrespect Teddy. But remember that Pacquiao fight in Australia? Who was that guy?
Jeff Horn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. I tweeted while that fight was going on that if you were listening to Teddy, you think Pacquiao's destroying
of course.
This guy. But I said, if you turn down the sound, I said before the decision, I go, I think this fight is way closer than he's making it out to be.
Yeah.
And in fact, Horn went and people went crazy. I'm
they
like,
did.
I don't think it was that controversial. I don't.
Hmm.
So, I mean, that's.
I had Pacquiao win in that fight, though.
But, I had Horn winning.
Yeah, you did?
I did.
See what I mean? See how close it could be on a 10-9, 10-8 score.
I mean, but
system.
The biggest example of this is, you know, let's take Leonard Hagler.
Yeah.
Right, where the third judge had it 117-111 length.
Right.
Right now, I'm the biggest Sugar Ray guy in the
sure.
world, but even I know. I was like, come on, it wasn't 117-111 or whatever it was, or 115-109,
sure,
whatever
sure.
it was. So, it's boxing, and that's the problem. So the reason that, and you and I have the same opinion, the reason we come out of a fight like the Triple G one, we're like, I'm never betting this. Remind me to never bet this sport again. But here we are all these years later, and yeah, this is my first foray back. I'm betting it.
Yeah, well, that's interesting.
But you make a good point about the draw.
I didn't bet it. I just seen, all I did was check Circa's odds because I just wanted to check Circa's odds and I seen they had 21 in a draw. Now, granted, I'll do a lot of searching and look around because I'll tell you, you know, these type of bets, when you're betting a one-way pool, will there be a draw? It's not a yes, no on that particular thing I didn't see. So when you're betting those type of odds, you're going to see, like, I looked and I checked three spots now. And then now that I'm on here, I checked Circa, but I also did check two others that's in front of me, plus 14-1, plus 11-1. Come on. That's why you have to look everywhere and check. And I'll even check more and hope I get better than Circa, because now you're taking a field, you're taking a juiced market that I don't like betting the futures. I'm not really one to bet futures when you can only bet one way. So there are 20, 30, 40, 50% household. A house edge, I'm not looking to do that. But if you have 10 different sports books that you're looking at, you're bringing the house edge down to single digits. That's the way I feel. So I will bet into a futures market. Definitely do your shopping. I know when people come to Vegas, and we beat a dead horse saying this all the time. People come to Vegas, they come in, they stay at, I don't know, Treasure Island. And the center of the strip, good location to stay at. And they only have the Treasure Island lines in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. You have to go next door. You have to go across the street. Put a couple hundred, whatever you're betting, whatever your limits are. You know, if you bet $100 a game, go put $600, $800 in the win. Go put that in the stations.
But even as you're saying that, don't you have that other internal voice that where you're like 9 out of 10 people listening to that?
They're not doing that.
They're not doing it.
No, they're not. They're betting into one set of lines.
They're
and
like,
that's
what
it.
Do you mean? What am I going to tell my wife? I'm not going to go out of here. I got to bet it here.
Well, then they're not serious. They're having fun and want to know something.
Yeah.
If they're doing that, enjoy yourself.
Fun.
Have some fun. Just know that you could have got a lot better on your ROI on your money with any bets.
By the way, they asked Sean Porter, who fought both of these guys.
Great guy.
Sean Porter lost by TKO to Crawford. Lost a split decision to Spence Jr. They asked him, "What are your thoughts?" Very much like Teddy, he's like, "If my life depended on it, was betting all my money one bet, I'd bet Crawford."
Crawford, wow.
Yeah.
Crawford knocked him out in the 10th round, I believe.
Because he said the same thing. He goes, Spence is the bigger man, but Crawford actually might have more power.
Wow.
Yeah. Going to be fun.
Stay away from betting this fight altogether. Just enjoy it.
That's your boxing ban. Yeah. Come back, wrapping things up with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. Let's see. Nash talking about our conversation before Teddy came on. He says TikTok and YouTube touts are sports betting content, the sports betting content calculator for new young sports bettors. He says they don't want to do work. Just take the shortcut route and have an answer appear in front of them. That from Nash, talking about our discussion earlier. Sky High, that was one of those great moments listening to an amazing breakdown where you just wish those hard outs could get softened or dissolve completely. Well, he said he had to go to a doctor's appointment, too.
Yeah, he kind of had a hard out, too. Yeah.
He had a hard out, also, Elvis Toast Patterson, great spot, Gilly, with the great Teddy Atlas. Teddy is always interviewing gold. Nice job. We just appreciate him coming on. Nathan Mallinson, strongly recommend Teddy Atlas's autobiography, which I recently finished reading, about so much more than boxing, he said.
It's so good. Now it's on. They just did it on tape again. Teddy tell. Oh God, he's so right. It's what is that called? Audible or whatever it is. No, it's an audible book.
An audio book,
which
yeah.
is better for me. I can't focus on reading pages no more. But yeah, thank you for that mentioning that. Great book. He's right.
And Lou Finicaro, Gamble Lou, sweet Lou,
good guy.
He says, Gil, in the Spence Crawford contract, there's an automatic rematch clause before the end of the year. You want to throw that into the mix to your draw comment. But there's a rematch no matter what.
Yeah, so they don't need a score.
So they don't need a draw. Yeah, is really what he's saying there. Crawford-Spence might not be the best fight right now. You know what might be the best fight right now? Sean Payton against the world.
Oh, wow.
Have you heard about this?
I heard you guys talking about this, yeah.
So new Denver Broncos coach, right, headed into his first season with the Broncos, Sean Payton, apparently appeared, he was in an interview yesterday with USA Today Sports, and he went blitzkrieg on, among other people, Nathaniel Hackett, the former coach of the Broncos. Payton, in an expansive mood, called the work that Hackett and his staff did with the 2022 Broncos, quote, one of the worst coaching jobs in the history of the NFL, unquote. Are you kidding me? Has there ever been a NFL coach coming in blasting the last coach like this? Well, he's doing it. He also said there were, quote, 20 dirty hands around quarterback Russell Wilson's career worst season last year that included just 16 touchdown passes and a league-high 55 sacks. Kelly, was he liquored up? Like, what was happening here?
I don't know, man. There's another quote in here. Very defensive of Russell Wilson, right?
Yes.
And he's talking about, you know, the 20 dirty hands for what was allowed, tolerating in the trading rooms, the meeting rooms, that offense. I don't know Hackett. A lot of people had dirt on their hands. It wasn't just Russell. He didn't just flip. He still has it. This BS that he hit a wall, shoot, they couldn't get a play in. They were 29th in the league in pre-snap penalties on both sides of the ball. He's ripping everybody. Well, it's incredible.
How about this one right here where he says, ultimately, Payton summed it up with, quote, everything I heard about last season, we're doing the opposite.
Yeah, because he kind of jabs at the Jets for doing a lot of the pomp and circumstance with everything they're doing with Aaron Rodgers. My name
is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents. He's going to do the opposite of everything. What is wrong with him? What's he doing? What's the upside of this?
That's what I was just going to say. Like you weren't going into Denver already with enough pressure on you, right? He brings up, there's another quote in here about, he brings up about how much the team spent on Russell Wilson and how they wasted that last year. Well, how much did the team just spend on you, bro? You better get in there and win some games.
Sean Payton, from replacement player to arrogant incoming coach. Jeez, there's an arc. Does that make that makes me hate the Broncos right now? Like it makes me hate them because of him. Why are you going to take shots at Nathaniel?
I was not expecting that.
Yeah,
Stephen Vegas brought up a good thing just now. Steve, big boxing fan. Great, grades all the fights. It's funny. I had Teddy in town here. We went and did a podcast, and I said, you know, Steve, come on over. You know, and Steve came over and was like, he was so happy to meet Teddy Atlas. He's a really, really good guy. But he just said something interesting. I personally think neither will take many chances in this fight. It may be a very good fight. It likely won't be a great fight. Boxers at this level don't seem willing to lay it on the line and go for the KO and mega fights. Very good point.
Well, you know, I've heard that about this. A lot of people have mentioned that. And the counter that I've heard to that is, yeah, but these guys are built a little different. Like, they have enough arrogance about them both. And that this isn't the problem. Like, Roy Jones Jr. was talking about this, because Roy Jones Jr. related this to when he fought James Toney. And he said, we were both at the top of our games. We weren't backing down. And he also brought up Mayweather Pacquiao. He was like, this isn't something like after the fact. This is in the moment where each one of us wanted to be the top dog. So he that was his counter argument. He's like, that might be the case for, you know what he said, for a round. But the Vegas, if it goes more than a round and they're just, you know, feeling each other out, the crowd is going to get so bitter about it that they're actually going to hear that and react. And who was I talking about before? Before when we're talking about who fought both of them, Sean Porter said he actually hears that when he fights, where the crowd gets really restless about stuff like that, and he reacts to it. So that was Roy Jones Jr. counter to that comment.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. I want to finish with a tiny rant. Tiny.
Yeah. Before you do the tiny rant, let me give my tennis pick that remains
please,
today before you do the tiny rant. Had three picks. Again, VSiN.com/picks for all of these. The two earlier hit. Dion Parry won straight sets against Danko Kovinic, and Arthur Fields won in straight sets earlier as well. So again, VSiN.com/picks. As long as I'm staying out of tiebreakers, Kelly, I'll win these. But as soon as I get in a tiebreaker, I lost tiebreakers 11-9, 8-6. I can't get any of those. So the only one remaining today, by the way, Fields beat Dusan Lajovic. The only one remaining is Dominic Kepfer. Minus 107 against the Brit Daniel Evans, who's not really in top form right now. He's a little rusty. So Dominic Kepfer, minus 107. I'll see what the price is on that right now just to make sure that's still playable. This is on the hard courts of Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah, minus 111 on Kepfer, so that's still playable. All right, Bill, rant away.
First off, a shout out to our friend of the show who's been on a couple times too, and I've been to his house many times. Howie Schwab almost died. He was in the hospital for months, at a couple months, and he was 50-50 to make it, and he's okay now. He's battling back. He's in rehab. He had some internal infections and stuff. And
from Stump the Schwab fame.
From Stump the Schwab fame, yeah. Great guy. Loved Howie. Good friend of mine. One of my best friends. Also, shout out to Dick Vitale, who's been on my podcast, and also a friend. You know, getting back. I think he's 81 or 81. God bless him. Still going strong. Hopefully he'll be back on. He just had surgery. Went well. But I want to talk about something I heard on a different network. It was just, I just can't believe how bad some of the information is out there. Two people on a show gave out information and said, oh, it's such a bad bet to bet anything futures-wise. Don't tie up your money for 7-8 months. You don't want to do that. Listen, I definitely don't agree with you at all. I don't agree. There's so many good opportunities. Like I said, when I was recently at Foxwoods at DraftKings, you couldn't have enough money for futures. Now, when I say futures, I don't mean Dallas Cowboys to win a Super Bowl. I don't mean that. Though that is something you could search about and find good odds on also. What I'm talking about is like over-under on players' receptions, running back yards, quarterback passing yards. There is definite 10% edges that lifetime I've had more, actually. I ran so sick last year, the last 2 years, ran really sick on them. So I don't agree at all. Just watch where you get your information. Know the people. If they make money betting sports on their own, if they bet their own money, there's some bad information out there, folks. Just wanted to say.
Crackman, Bill Krakenberger, he has spoken. Let's do this again next week, same time.
Yeah, I'll be here next week. Great. Thanks. Right. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for having Teddy on. Great time.
Thank you for letting us have Teddy on. We appreciate that. At Bill Krakenberger with the K is the Twitter handle for Unscripted with Bill Krakenberger. Once again, the tennis play is on Dominic Kepfer going up against Daniel Evans. That won't start for about 2 hours from now in Atlanta, Georgia, on the hard courts ATP tournament there. We've done all we could do. The Lombardi Line is next. Lots of football talk and beyond, of course. Baseball trade deadline approaching. That's next right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.